Blog Talk Radio.
It's Photon!
I would like the record to show that I safely assumed he would be on the card tonight, at the very least doing something. But sadly, that did not happen.
Can we change that? Because not only is that the old theme song, that guy's not even on the NXT roster anymore.
Yeah, we're probably going to do both of those things pretty soon. But I have to say, no, I assume that at the very least he would say something spiritual and then leave.
In a puff of smoke.
Yes, but I thought in a puff of smoke he would have returned, and then that same puff he would have just disappeared. Sadly, I was mistaken.
Well then.
Yes. But, hey guys, this is Those Guys. I'm your host, Matt Marrero, and I'm sitting here with Satish Ram. Not really,
not,
physically.
Yeah.
I'm not physically sitting here, but spiritually, I think, you know, with the C.J. Parker in all of us, I think that, you know, he's here with me.
Well, I'm sitting here with Mona, who's one of our loyal listeners, because she's in my living room, physically. Not spiritually, she is in my
living
room.
Yes, actually, physically, yes. But I would
Which
like to
nice.
Say, yes, it is. What was I going to say? I don't know. Usually we don't. We're doing, by the way, NXT TakeOver tonight. Hello, everyone. Usually we don't focus on the pre-shows and the post-shows, but for some reason they really stepped up their game for this. I want to say this is one of the only...
I should just throw away all my pages on Cooler's Revenge, then.
Yeah, for some reason, Mr. Ram here believes that we were doing Cooler's Revenge tonight when he knows that we weren't, for some odd reason. And we weren't doing Cooler's Revenge.
We do Dragon Ball Z on Thursdays.
It depends on the Thursday. Last Thursday, we were unable... both myself and Tristan Walter were unable to do Cooler's Revenge, and now we have NXT TakeOver, a special, not a paper.
No, unless they like our Facebook page or something.
Right, and our Facebook page is Those Guys on the Radio via the URL, or when you search it, Those Guys. But you are correct, if they wouldn't know unless they like our Facebook page. Or even if they emailed us at thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com, they wouldn't know.
Mainly because we haven't checked that email in a long time. But
the only person that has contacted us is probably our resident caller, Daniel. Other than that, I was really hoping it was
JTG.
Oh, that would be lovely. I was just playing SmackDown vs. Raw 2008, and I saw JTG there. And I thought, hello. Which totally ties into NXT somehow. No. But moving back to NXT.
Yes. Very clearly my feelings on the quote-unquote pay-per-view. If you're listening to us to try and gauge what NXT TakeOver was like, stop. Listen to us later. Go watch it right now. And
please
watch the pre- and post-show, too. Because you missed out on perhaps, in terms of 7:30 to 10:30, 3 hours of A-plus WWE programming.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. And it's a bit upsetting that they can't do this for their main card, which really makes me wonder, should the roles be reversed? Quite possibly. You know, should they understand that maybe...
Well, John Cena, definitely, that John Cena guy needs a repackaging. Because honestly, there's no depth to his character. And
yeah.
I haven't... I just, for the last, 8 to 10 years, it's been the same thing. I mean,
I just love how you talked about him as if he were Yoshitatsu. Like, that John Cena guy that we sometimes see.
Yeah.
He isn't the main person on the roster. Yeah, John Cena fella.
John Cena is so main on the roster that in WWE Slam City, he's the one with the WWE Championship, even though he hasn't held it in months.
He's so main on the roster. He's so main on the roster that when you look at... Well, remember
Daniel
something, though.
Bryan
Slam
doesn't
City,
even get a
remember
Slam
something.
City.
Well, wait a minute. Remember, though, Slam City was filmed so long ago. Think about, okay, here...
Kane gets
I'm
a
even
Slam
looking
City.
At, That's why, because he's still in his mask. This is before they even had corporate Kane. Remember, a lot of the stuff that's on the network
when Kane
now
was in his mask,
was actually,
he was with Daniel Bryan.
Yes, exactly. That's what. So really think about that, though. Most, even some of the Beyond the Ring stuff that they are currently pushing out, you'll have people like CM Punk on there, and they'll be promoted as new for the network.
Which is good.
But obviously,
but no, I mean,
but
in
anyway,
terms of the network era, I mean, goddamn, NXT TakeOver was really good.
It was. And you know, I mean, you look at the, you know, the pre-show, and you have Paul Heyman, Cesaro, Christian, and Renee Young. In what way is that? There's no way to make that terrible. And they clearly showed that they would have had to have tried to make that bad. They
no,
really
honestly, it just, because Paul Heyman and Renee Young, and Paul more than Renee, but Renee, in terms of her short sample size, has been excellent, are just very naturally talented at what they do. And you put them in any situation, they've got great lines, chemistry together, actually. Oddly enough, Renee Young and Paul Heyman have good chemistry in terms of being together. And Christian,
what I really enjoy. Yes, no, I think that when they gave Christian his time, he was great. I think he's better on the actual microphone commentating on a match, I feel. But when you have Renee Young, it's very interesting because most, I want to say about 90% of the things that she said sounded organic. Nothing sounded as if it was just, like, as it, whenever Paul Heyman overreacted, she felt as if she was actually saying, stop it, like, that was actually mean. And whenever Paul overreacted, it felt as if he was actually trying to give something to the situation.
See, what's interesting is that the way you say organic, it's something that almost resonated throughout the entire night, because when you look at, like, the little things, like, through the matches, the animosity between Tyson Kidd and Adrian Neville, you know, the ferociousness of the match between the women and then the emotion after, everything felt very organic to me. From the beginning, where we saw on the pre-show, you know, Adam Rose taking selfies with his fans outside of the Full Sail University.
One of my favorite moments of the night.
Yeah, everything felt very organic and natural and entertaining to me. And I was very immersed into the product. And I realized that it really wasn't just me. It wasn't a thing where I was going to have to go on and just start defending this on the podcast, like, no, guys, you have to understand. Like, about halfway through the show, I'm sitting here like, this is really good, and everyone's going to think this is really good, to the point where we had three matches in a row that were, like, nearly WrestleMania quality in terms of match psychology and performance and all the little things. And it just, this was 2 hours of NXT. I mean, after Arrival, I thought, wow, that's pretty good. But they completely blew it out of the water with TakeOver, where if all you've seen of NXT is Arrival and TakeOver, you probably think you've missed the best wrestling in 15 years.
Yeah, and I want to say, jumping to the first match, I think that, obviously I know that Adam Rose has been featured prominently on NXT in his rivalry with Camacho, but I think it's great to kind of, for anyone that's still on the edge and who isn't like us, you know, the internet wrestling fan, who's thinking, what am I supposed to think about Adam Rose? You know, because sadly we've had some lackluster crowds. We've had a few good ones, but we've had a few lackluster. I think this, you know, this Full Sail audience definitely helped drive home. It's a party. We're entertained. And it
really
got you involved in the matchup.
Yeah, kudos to the entire crowd there tonight, because they were into it, they added to the event, and I think recently it was probably just Monday when we were talking about them being in Tennessee, and the crowd almost took away from everything, being on Raw.
Yeah.
Were even good segments, it was just like the crowd's like, meh, and that was their own fault. When you look at these people at Full Sail, they were just into everything, and that's what they should have done. You know, they should be into everything, and it adds to the atmosphere of the event, which was good. And it's funny because you look at guys like Camacho, Natalya, I mean, Tyson Kidd even. You know, these are guys who've been in the WWE ring before. Not the NXT ring, the WWE ring, right? I mean, even arguably you could say Ricardo Rodriguez because he performs as a local. But a lot of this surprisingly felt like old talent putting over the future in a way.
Which I was very excited about. I feel as if, because I think that's the scariest thing about being on the main roster, I feel, where sometimes, I mean, I will admit, you know, some of the matchups, I do think that they were up in the air. You know, I knew Natalya wasn't going to win, but I was actually very curious about what was going to happen with Tyson Kidd. I was.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll admit to that, because I think that was pretty much it for me, right? I was speaking to, you know, Mona, trying to explain things throughout the night, and
right.
One of the things I mentioned was like, yeah, I think Charlotte's going to win, and to me it was just because the NXT Women's title was not going to be held by Natalya. On the flip side, everything else was kind of a bit of a toss-up. I mean, from the beginning, you assumed Adam Rose would beat Camacho, just because it was a little warm-up for the crowd and all that. And it was solid, if not unspectacular match.
Yes.
But you look at the stuff that went on otherwise in the night, and Tyson Kidd and Adrian Neville, as you mentioned, anyone could have won, and at the same time, we wouldn't have been able to call it. You know, the tag team match, even for a bit, the Ascension was favored to win, but we didn't know what they were going to do, because the Ascension have been dominating for so long that it could have been as easy as a roll-up, and we would have been like, oh, okay. And Sami Zayn and Tyler Breeze, I had no idea what they're going to do, because they built over Zayn as being stressed out about losing that match to Cesaro. And then Tyler Breeze is this up-and-comer who needs to perform, even though he's a heel jackass. But everything, again, organic, natural. I couldn't predict it. And it was
it's so much better than
things we've seen out of Raw and SmackDown.
And it's very interesting, because what I think it is, it's just, and I've mentioned this before, I just feel as if that these, okay, for some people, I will admit, being new is an issue, right? Like, let's say the announcers, the commentators for NXT, there's a reason why they didn't get this two-hour pay-per-view type event, where they knew, okay, you guys are a bit too young for this. We got Byron,
Tom, and Regal. And that may have created an excellent atmosphere for commentary.
Yes.
Because
Byron
and Tom have good chemistry. You and I both pointed that out before. And they work very well on things like main event. Then you've got Regal, who just makes he's JR Light, you know, without the enthusiasm, but all the intelligence and ability to articulate.
Exactly. But what I was getting at was, so we have, you know, some new guys, I understand, you have to put them aside.
Correct.
But I honestly believe that these writers and these, if they are indeed new, as if they are, quote-unquote, trying them out for future WWE work, honestly, they're the people that need to be brought up immediately. Whoever we have currently working in the back right now is I'm not even saying they're into an older mindset, I'm just saying that they're burnt. It's hard. It's happened in so many other things as well. I mean, heck, you've even seen, Super Sentai, right, where the showrunner is the same showrunner for, let's say, 8 years. And you've seen by the eighth year, by a show called, Five Men, that this man is clearly burnt out, and then the show suffers, or at least gets extremely wacky and strange because of it. And you can easily see that with the WWE as well, with the fact that they do all these shows on a weekly basis for years. If you have the same person on for even just more than 3 years, there's going to be issues.
Yeah, and part of it is just the NXT guys have got to be working off a different mindset. Because first off, I mean, in terms of debuting a character randomly on Raw, right, we never would have seen a selfie god. We never would have seen a king of selfies. That's obviously from the younger mindset of these NXT guys. Secondly, off these NXT people, whoever's training these people down there, and I know some of the names, but I can't always spit them out, they focus so much on the technical part of wrestling in the ring that it's very difficult not to be impressed when you've been watching Raw for so long. Because some of these older guys, although they're not bad per se, they don't have that technical prowess. You know, so we idolize people like Daniel Bryan who can do that stuff. But then you watch this takeover thing and you see that so many people can perform very technical athletic maneuvers that, you know, add to the excitement and the flow of the match.
Yeah, it's nice to see that people aren't given gimmicks to hide their problems. They're just given gimmicks. You know, as if, let's look at Tyler Breeze, let's say. We're not going to, we're not going to focus on the match right now because, you know, we are working up a bit. But nowhere in that match did I think, oh, he was given this gimmick because he's really bad in the ring. You know, he was given this gimmick to be entertaining so we can hide his weaknesses.
No way
did that happen.
And we'll get to Tyler Breeze, but I just have to make a comment on something. Did you notice what I noticed about his theme song?
What about it?
If I'm right, he's HBK'd it, and he has sung his own theme song.
Yes, I believe he is singing it himself, yes.
And that is incredible. If only because mm-hmm. it's just the stupidest, most cocky thing in the world.
That's why I really also have to say I really enjoy, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
I really do have to enjoy his dedication to this character.
Oh,
because
yeah, no,
there's,
he is dedicated to the character, and it's funny, because at first I loved his dedication to the character, because I hated
yeah.
the character at first.
Oh, yeah.
Liked his dedication, and then I thought... Maybe
I personally think he needs to be debuted immediately and put in a tag team with Fandango, and then, because Fandango, who has been on the roster, can help him, you know, his weaknesses in front of a huge audience, and then they both... Because they're both so charismatic, they can get more mic time. Because I've heard some people say, "Oh, Tyler Breeze is Fandango done right." No, Tyler Breeze is Fandango, who you know, being given an actual freaking microphone and being
yeah, and,
allowed to speak.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny also because, in terms of voices, I don't know if you would agree with me here. I
right.
like Fandango's voice more than I like Tyler Breeze's voice.
Yes.
But Breeze is just getting the chance to do it. So, I mean, if Fandango was given this much mic time, I think we would promote his mic work as much as we do with Breeze. Because Fandango, as Johnny Curtis even, was very entertaining.
Oh, I loved him as Johnny Curtis. I understand why it couldn't have worked, but I would have loved to have seen Johnny Curtis on Monday Night Raw. I think
yeah.
that would have been amazing. Just this eccentric personality when people say, you know, just yeah, like this guy without a shirt on. I don't need a shirt. And then just struts away. Oh, it would have been beautiful, but sadly
yeah.
what could have been.
I
but,
mean, and some
yeah.
giving changes work over. I mean, you look at Adam Rose, who in our eyes is a darling, you know, and
yeah. Oh, yeah.
not only was he solid enough to win the match tonight, but pre-show and post-show moments were excellent. The pre-show moment, as we both
really?
Mentioned, was the thing with the actual selfie with the fans, and that was so
yeah.
so nice, and I think you were very happy about that. After I mentioned that to Demona, because I was like, oh, that's really nice, and you texted me about it immediately, and...
Yes, yes, because it's just, even if, let's just say, even if it was a plant, right, because it happens, right, plants are there, even though that's a very small audience, but still, let's say it was a plant, right, it was still done in a way that made you not feel as if it was a plant. There was no awkwardness about it. It was
no,
just,
I think
they
was
were
real,
going to
the
take,
way.
They were, because they were going to take the selfie, and then he immediately noticed it, like, out of the corner of his eye, and then thought, you know, it's like in his Adam Rose voice, screw it, I'll join in, and then just put his head in there. And then they thought, wow, I just got a selfie with Adam Rose.
Yeah, no, I think it was real because the guy's reaction after was like, dude, look. And it
yes,
made me
yeah.
happy. And the only thing that topped it for me was the post game where he
right.
walked in on Sami Zayn and
right.
just dashed on the table and just, you know, don't be 11. You should be a rosebud. The crowd gets in on this.
Yes.
And then they start dancing and chanting, Sammy is a rosebud. I was beyond done.
And I think, you know, what's great about that is that, you know, here in NXT, you can have, I mean, I will admit, I do want people to be a bit more heelish, but I'm still happy that everyone can at least acknowledge their, you know, each other's, you know, strengths and weaknesses and whatever. So it was nice to have a face, look at another face, say that, the face agree, and then be happy with him rather than, you know what, no,
and
you,
you know
need
what?
To be, you need to be less of a rosebud, and then a slap, and then all of a sudden it's Swerve, Russo Swerve, we're going to have a match for the next NXT.
But Sami Zayn is a very good dancer.
Yeah, yeah. I loved Renee's reaction. Just he says he needs a 5-foot radius. Whenever
I
he
love
dances.
Paul's reaction, because he just stared in her direction like
no.
a statue.
Not just that. Anytime Adam Rose came out, he just no-sold it. He's
that
currently the John Cena of gimmicks.
Paul, don't you enjoy this? I've always enjoyed being a lemon.
Yes. Yeah, he said that. I was great. Just, I always enjoyed being a lemon. That's just who I've been. I was happy that Adam Rose did not hear that. I was worried he was going to come back around. But thankfully,
no,
he just left.
But yeah, I mean, it's hard because... We've spent so much time talking about Adam Rose, and it's funny because in terms of match quality, right? He certainly didn't tear the roof off tonight. But
no. I actually feel as if at first I was a little concerned. I thought he was being booked rather not booked, but like his actions. I have nothing wrong with anyone being effeminate, especially for the sake of humor.
You noticed it too, didn't you?
Yes, it wasn't even an issue with me. I'm just worried that people will take it the wrong way and then think
they
he's weak because of it.
They booked him very homoerotically tonight.
But the funny thing is that I personally don't watch NXT. I feel as if this is just what they do at NXT, not on the main roster.
I always use this phrase, but it was kind of turned up to 11 tonight. Because
right. I understand.
Now, in some moments, I was laughing. Yeah. Like when he was caught in Camacho's arms, and he starts looking at him like,
hey, how you doing, man?
I lost it. Because I thought that was
of course,
beautiful.
Of course. By the way, if anyone wants to call in and talk to us about NXT TakeOver, please call in at 718-664-9468. The number again is 718-664-9468. But no, I agree. Because it felt as if very Shaggy and Scooby-Doo, and I lost it, right?
Oh, yeah.
But what happened was, though, what I like, though, is that that did happen, but then immediately after, and I made the, you know, a note, I noted it, immediately after, he starts to get that, something that can only be seen in guys like Daniel Bryan and John Cena, which I really enjoyed. Just that whole, even Hulk Hogan, I thought, in the mid-80s, where it's
he
just...
He hulked up.
Yes, and I think that's something, what really upsets me, I think, there are a few things that did upset me about this special, and some not even a fault of their own, is that the quality of match type, you know, the matches and everything you saw here in their acting and in what they did and even some of the wins, you'll never see on Raw. And I think that's what really kind of turns me off in a weird way, because it's just, like, really, we can't see Adam Rose do cool things like this? And I know, yes, give Rose some time, but still, in his debut match, he was nothing. He was nowhere near this. And in NXT, he's had a few. And this is, you know.
Here's another thing, too.
Right.
From watching NXT tonight, there was one specific thing I wanted to zone in on, because, and I think you'll agree with me, we saw some very athletic guys go up in these matches. And so guys like Tyson Kidd, Adrian Neville, Zayn, and Tyler Breeze, right?
Right.
And for me, sometimes the usage of the top rope, the turnbuckle, in mainstream Raw and SmackDown has become watered down to the point where I feel when someone goes up to jump, it's just like a simple crossbody or a drop kick, and they do the simplest suicide dives possible for the most part. And tonight I felt like we had a nice arsenal of moves out there. I mean, in terms of the stuff that was performed involving the ring. Like, Zayn pulling off that sit-down moonsault off the ropes was incredible. And we saw some other stuff go on that I think made me miss the more, I guess it's almost weird for me to say cruiserweight days, but you knew that I was a huge fan of cruiserweights, and
of
I like that kind of style of wrestling. And interestingly enough, a lot of the stuff that I deemed technical tonight was also common in cruiserweight matches.
Yeah, it's just, you know, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised. Just Adrian Neville, you know, what was it, the man that gravity forgot? Live on Monday Night Raw, he gets up on the top turnbuckle. Look at him punching his way off of it. Doesn't even do the jumping punch. He just punches while he's on the turnbuckle.
That's what I worry
about.
Wow,
look
at
that finisher.
I don't want to see these guys watered down because, and Adrian Neville especially. But the thing is, they harp so much on his finishing move that I am 100% certain that they are going to let him go with it when he hits Raw. Because they replayed it about 6 times in a row after.
Well, no. Yeah, he'll be fine. What I think is, and I feel really bad in saying this, I feel like every single time Triple H shakes Vince McMahon's hand, he goes, "When will you die?" Because I feel as if there's just a lot of things that, because, okay, if you really feel as if this is Triple H's baby, right? NXT is completely under Triple H's control. Vince McMahon has nothing to do with it. He actually doesn't give a damn, right? This is pretty damn good, you know? So you really think, like, huh, what's happening on the main roster?
Yeah,
what's happening there?
So what a contrast, because I understand that we're comparing what is essentially an NXT pay-per-view to episodes of Raw and stuff, right? But Payback is coming up on Sunday, and arguably the last 3 matches you saw tonight, referring to Zayn and Breeze, Charlotte and Natalya, and Adrian Neville and Tyson Kidd, were all at such a level that you could find them on the Payback pay-per-view. So much so that in watching Payback on Sunday, I may now be disappointed when don't live up to NXT quality.
I would also like to mention that when people say, oh, yeah, well, this is the NXT pay-per-view, still, this should be filled with people who are still trying to say, I'm a new kid, and I'm going to one day work to be on the main roster. Like, this is how everyone should be on NXT, yet they're somehow outperforming.
It's funny because, like, when Arrival came up, right, NXT Arrival,
right.
with the,
right.
the coinciding with the WWE Network, I would have
yes.
been satisfied with an average show because this is NXT. Like, if I go to a minor league baseball game, I don't need to sit there and think, man, that guy is better than the guy that started for the main team today. What's
yeah.
wrong with that, you know? So if it happens, which it can, that's incredible. But if it doesn't, I'm not surprised because you
and
know what's par for the course, right?
And it's very upsetting because I don't think that they're actually better. I you know, obviously, as you mentioned, I think that they're watered down. And it's just upsetting because they're watered down in a way that it's just, you know, it's like, well, maybe you can lessen the dates that they go to. No, we can't do that. So you'd rather lessen the quality? Like, really? You know, people have to remember, again, when will Vince go? Not die. I'll tone it down. When will Vince go away? Because
well, he already blew up in a limo.
Yeah, twice.
This is obviously Cyborg Vince. So Vince is never dying at this point.
Uh-oh.
I think he's holding on for the point where they can implant his brain into a robot and then use that in an angle on Raw. Like, you know what they say, that spiritually, like, some people will just hold on for one last thing? That's Vince's thing. He's going to hold on to, like, 106 when they develop the technology to put his brain in a robot, and it'll just be, like, he walks in the next day while his robot rolls in and fires the entire staff because they're not robots.
So that's what happens? So now all of a sudden, no white person can become a WWE champion. It has to be a robot?
It has to be a robot.
It has to be robots.
And the first robot that comes back, obviously,
will be
is none other than Hulk Hogan.
Oh, okay.
And then we have Hulkbot versus John Cena at WrestleMania.
Robo-Cena.
Cena's still real. Cena's still real at this point because
okay,
he's wrestling
okay,
into
okay.
his 50s, and he's still, like, beating everybody.
Okay.
Like, at this point, he has squashed, like, most of the main roster.
Oh,
and
yeah.
it's just, remember I sent you that GIF one day of a roller coaster just running through 500 men? Yeah, that's John Cena.
Yes.
John Cena and the entire WWE roster. And at this point, he's like 50-something, you know, just like Paul Heyman
mm-hmm.
or something.
Yeah.
And he still looks, you know, like he's 70. But he's wrestling, doing his thing.
And then The Rock would be, what, in his 70s? 60s?
God, how old would The Rock actually be when Cena's like 50?
All I know is that The Rock will be these slightly electrifying men in sports entertainment, just coming back, just, let me tell you.
It's funny because you look at, and I know we're getting off track here, but you look at some of the legends, like when they come back now, right? Like Roddy.
Yeah.
And Roddy can still command a mic for the most part. And you
yeah.
just imagine, you're like, imagine 20 years ago. Right? Like,
yeah.
the fact that you can still work the mic better than some of your roster right now.
Yeah.
And 20 years ago was your time? What the hell? I mean, some of these guys are really
Tyler,
shape.
Tyler Breeze will one day get booze because he's so old. Look at your stupid archaic phone. You can't even call with your mind.
That would be interesting. The WWE
yeah.
Network, people go back to watch Tyler Breeze. He used an iPhone? Didn't they know that killed
no.
you?
No. He used an iPhone, the same one he used to kill his victims.
iPhones
but,
are weapons now. That's wonderful.
iPhones are weapons. Well, when Tyler Breeze used them to murder all those children. But anyway,
no, but
moving
look,
back
so
to the matches.
To the card, right. Pushing past Adam Rose and Kamala.
What was
next on the card? Was that the tag team match?
Yes. But I would like to mention, though, a few things. First off, just, again, the crowd. Just, they were chanting, it's party time all the time. They were
mm-hmm.
so into this that it was just beautiful. Also, I know it sounds weird in out of context, or in the context of, you know, the world that we do live in now, but there was an African-American female ring announcer. Just look at you, WWE. Look at what you're doing there. Good for you guys.
Yeah, no, and not only that, I mean, she got to announce that Tyler Breeze had arrived. I love that.
Yeah. Yes,
attention,
yes,
everybody.
Yes.
Tyler Breeze has arrived.
Has
carry
entered
on
the
with everything.
Has, yeah.
And I laughed so hard because she was like, attention, Tyler Breeze has entered the building.
Yes.
The Ascension's theme hits. They were just like, we wanted to let you know, and the night will continue. And
yeah.
I was so confused because when the Ascension's theme hit, I was like, that's not Tyler Breeze's theme. Did he get a new theme? And he did get
that's
a new
funny.
Theme. But it wasn't
yes.
the Ascension's theme song.
Right, right.
Who?
But
they camera angled that really well, by the way. Their entrance
yes,
and a lot
yes.
of things tonight were camera angled very nicely.
Though, you know, I won't even complain about it compared to, let's say, Raw, because I will admit it is a smaller area.
There
I
think 3 to 5 definitive moments where I was like, guys, don't.
No, I think what was great is even during the Divas match, I think, where when they had one camera on Natalya and then you thought, oh, they're going to bring it on the Charlotte. No, a different camera gets still perfectly, you know, held on Natalya from a different angle. I thought, wow, that was actually almost a seamless cut.
Yeah.
I think the only thing, I think they only had two issues, one more noticeable than the other. I could tell, because of the small arena, I could tell when they were telling each other what to do.
I could too.
Only
because
twice.
They zoomed in a little, like, too much at times.
Yes.
Like,
only
in the beginning
twice.
Of
one?
The Neville Kidd match, I had a very close view of Adrian Neville's crotch that I didn't need at all.
Clearly, you know, didn't forget that. Gravity didn't forget that. I'm tired. Anyway,
and rewatch that match because I know you're.
But what I will say is that. I noticed Natalya and Charlotte was kind of funny. I think she had her in a headlock, and no, it was in a lock, and they're on the floor, and it was done in a way where since Natalya isn't a heel, she couldn't have been like, you know, bad mouthing her. So it actually looks like she was just whispering to her, and it took them a while, thankfully, because sometimes I remember once during Big Show versus Randy Orton, the one that just happened last year, by the way, there was a kind of, you know, like you could hear them talking to each other. It was kind of funny. And it was way too close. But this time it was just, oh, good. It was, you know, the change in the move lasted long enough that made you think, all right, it wasn't just a quick change.
No, it could happen, though, because even as a face, like, Natalya could easily just whisper, like, your vagina smells like your dad.
And then, so, another thing is that during the Adrian Neville and Dyson Kidd match, I want to mention that I don't know, maybe it was just through the hair, I thought I saw, like, his mouth moving before, like, a clothesline, and I thought, oh, that was really cool because he has long hair, so you can't really tell. But it was still slightly there, though. But also, we have a caller tonight. I would like to, since it's 12 o'clock, I would like to have him or her be
wow, that's
a
12
call.
O'clock that easily, huh?
Well, that's what happens when you don't really talk about the matches too much. Hello, caller.
Hello?
Hello, caller.
I'm
on. Dead? Are you?
Hola,
no, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not on. No, everyone. We're not even on right now. We're not even. No one's on right now.
Espantoso, radio. ¿Cómo estás?
Hola. Hola, Satish.
Hola.
Oh, hola, Daniel.
Hey, guys.
So what's Daniel in Spanish? Daniel?
We kept Daniel on hold so long that Daniel went to do other things. Daniel had more of a life. Daniel put the phone down and decided, you know what, let me go reevaluate myself. And we caught him during a bow leave moment. We're very sorry, Daniel.
Yeah, I was just checking on I was just listening in and I accidentally pressed 1.
No.
He accidentally pressed 1. He doesn't even want to talk to us.
I do want to talk to you,
Daniel.
Guys,
you just instantly got heel heat on our show.
Daniel is so lucky.
I'm
he
not
pushed...
really okay with people getting heat on our show.
You know what's really upsetting right now on the network? There's a vote. He just voted for John Cena.
Wait, there's a vote for John Cena?
And you just voted for John Cena. Now he's going to beat Daniel Bryan clean for the WWE title at the next house show. It's terrible. That's the saddest thing in the world. That's actually more frightening than any whatever phobia you might have. That's the scariest thing in the world.
Yes, it is.
But anyway, so Daniel, so I assume you saw NXT TakeOver.
You would assume wrong. That's why I didn't want to.
Daniel. Do you remember the part when I started the show, Daniel, and I said, if you're listening to us to gauge what NXT TakeOver was like, cut us off, watch NXT TakeOver, and listen to us in the archives? I wasn't lying.
Not only did
that
he vote for John Cena.
That was literally what I meant.
Hey, I did not listen to the beginning of the show. To be fair, I just dropped it.
Okay. Well, we're happy that you dropped it. But, Daniel, if you want to call us back during our possible, we're going to have a possible rumor roundup type talk today, if we have enough time.
Yeah, whatever. Okay.
All right, so, but thank you for calling in, Daniel. Also, go watch that damn thing, because it's so good. Also, I don't know why you voted for John Cena. You made me sad. Goodbye, Daniel.
Oh, you guys.
We didn't cut Daniel off.
How do you vote for John Cena? Do you have, like, a fucking censor in your head?
No, I was making the joke that on the network, they're like, vote for John Cena now by pushing one. And then he pushed one.
No, I just assumed that, like, in your head, it's just some kind of spider sense where it's like, somebody made a stupid decision. Dun, 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 dun. You voted for John Cena? How could you?
Because he's a former Marine and he needs my help.
Carry on.
Pretty much. But jumping
yeah,
back
matches
to the tag
tonight.
Team. There were matches tonight, everyone. We're so sorry. We have extended time tonight, though. We're going for an hour and a half.
We have extended
because we
time
can.
Tonight?
Yes, extended.
I like extended time. Did our show get Viagra? Is that how it works?
But it can't take too much extended time because no one wants to hear a three-hour show. But anyway,
if no one wants
if your show, if your show goes,
if your show
goes on
for
too long,
hours.
You must insult the doctor.
If you can do your show for 3 hours or more,
as hard and fast as it was before, please consult your local physician. For those
but
who
anyway,
hear that
so
message
the extension
in Spanish, please check the archives. I'll redo this in Spanish.
Speaking of the Ascension, I really do think that they, speaking of things getting ascended, I really do think that they need to be ascended onto the main roster.
Yeah, it's weird because I have mixed feelings about the Ascension, but tonight they look good. And
yeah.
The Fall of Man, they're finishing, you know, the tag thing.
Mm-hmm.
It, on any given night, can look sloppy. And tonight it looked vicious. And I was
yes.
very glad because if you're going to bring it on one night, you bring it
right.
on NXT TakeOver.
And oh, yeah.
everybody frickin' brought it tonight.
Yeah, and the reason why I want them to be brought up, by the way, is there was a time, the last time I think, actually, yes, during the last, the quote-unquote pay-per-view, you know, NXT Arrival, I admit that it was too early, not only too early to bring them on, but also it was, we had so many tag teams at the time. But now with the destruction of tag teams that we've had and people actually just deciding to just do singles competition without their partner even being there as a manager, it's just become a thing where maybe we do need more tag teams, especially two big guys, because although I will admit one of them is a bit smaller than the other, but still they look so big, and I feel as if, you know, we haven't really had that many, you know, just like that kind of tag teams where it's just, hey, look, it's two big guys, especially ones that just don't seem as if they've been thrown together, like, you know, like Mark Henry and Big E. Right, which
right,
seems like certain people
are,
just...
Again,
yes.
you know, to burn the word into people's heads, or it seems like an organic tag team. It makes sense
yes,
for them.
Yes, yes, yes.
You don't question
yes,
it.
Like,
and they
work well together. A bit like Undertaker and Kane. And in a nice way, what I also like about them is they aren't exactly supernatural, but they just have this feeling about them where it's just, you know, we will destroy you. You know, it's like,
yeah,
well, you're not...
Yeah, part of it is their entrance, I think. Because
yes,
they do a good
yes.
job intimidating, you know, the crowd lights go down and the camera
yeah.
angle rises from the ground to see the two of them standing there. That's really well done.
Yeah, where it just, you know, and I like it because, like, mentioning, you know, let's say comparing them to Undertaker and Kane because they just have that kind of look about them. You know, Kane will say, you know, I will put fire on you, and, you know, the same fires that I came from because I came from hell. And then you'll have them say, fire, you know, burn you in fire. We didn't come from hell. But we're going to send you there. You know, they have that feeling about them where they just seem as if they can just be that next tag team, that next, you know, like the Brood, or which I love the Brood, by the way. I love
them
so much.
I mean, I don't know if I like them that much, but
they have that look. It's their look.
You, I'm on board with you in saying that they should be moved up to the main roster. And
yes.
at the same time, their opponents in the match make me very happy because I always talk about how I think it's cool that, you know, El Local is Ricardo Rodriguez, and how
yeah.
if you've been watching for the last few years, think about that. Ricardo Rodriguez,
yeah.
touted
yeah.
as overweight and this useless manager of Alberto Del Rio, is wrestling as a luchador and doesn't suck. He's really
no,
trying,
great.
And I love that. On the flip side, he's
mm-hmm.
almost always outshone by Kalisto, who is just naturally one of the greatest additions WWE has added to the NXT roster. And
yes.
this guy is great, and he didn't get as much of a chance to show that tonight because the formula of the match made it that way. But
yeah.
Kalisto is an A-plus talent, almost as close as Sami Zayn is to a
yeah.
sure thing. And I really like that they're pairing up with another luchador because it gives them both time to work on being green in the ring.
Yeah.
And it was nice to see them on tonight's card, honestly. It was just really nice to see them there.
No, it's kind of funny because, you know, we want the Ascension to be brought up, but then we need more tag teams, and it's very interesting because they will sign more people onto NXT just to let other people go, and you think, no, please don't let them go. Just put them in a tag team together or something as a jobber tag team for two other people. You know, do something, because right now, the state of the NXT tag team division, which we can actually call it that now with the way they're trying to treat NXT as its own little thing, is an issue where it's hard to bring people up when you don't have opponents for the other guys.
Right, and the Ascension, I would assume, is in an interesting place where because they've had the titles for so long, they can literally, at this point, as heels, walk on to Raw or SmackDown and just challenge what would be the Usos.
Yes, the Usos
are the titles. And just challenge the Usos and lose. But challenge the Usos because basically they would kind of promote to space because saying, we have nothing more to do. We can beat anybody. The Usos come in there and put them in their place. Suddenly, there's a little bit of an issue, and they drop the titles on the next NXT.
Right.
The Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And out of anger, they return to fight the Usos the next week on Raw.
That's synchronized way too well with their filming schedule.
And then
I'm saying they wouldn't do that. They're really bad at that.
Because I figure they return to fight the Usos, and they won't get to fight the Usos, but they'll suddenly be part of the tag team division on the main roster, where someone will be like, hey, you already got your shot and you lost. You should go through us first. Suddenly, Ryback Axel are taking on the Ascension.
You did it! Finally, everyone, he did it. He makes fun of me for Byron and Saxton, but he finally did it. He made fun of me for, Daniel Wyatt, or it was Bray and Wyatt, but yes, he finally did it. It's a happy
day. Bray and Wyatt and Byron and Saxton are still 2-1.
No,
You're
winning the long-term battle, but just like this NXT TakeOver event, something good happened tonight. And that's all that matters.
You may have won this battle, Matt, but not the war.
That's true. Nope, shitty wrestling all around. But anyway, I'm really enjoying what they're doing with everything. That's my goal. I really enjoy what they are doing with everything. No, but you were talking about Curtis Axel and Ryback.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, that would be an easy way to just ease them into the main roster or something.
Yes,
we could do that, because I just...
And what I think is, not that I want them to have, let's say, Paul Heyman, but I do think that they need to find a, not even Paul Bearer, but someone who is creepy that can easily kind of give them that access, because I haven't heard them speak. And I assume that in NXT, a place where everyone's strengths get pushed and everything, if they can't speak, that's a problem. Like, if they're not speaking on NXT, I feel as if that is an issue. So I personally feel as if I want them to have someone. And it's kind of funny, because I remember months ago, they were saying that the rumor was going to be that Vicky Guerrero was going to come out with them. Please, WWE, don't do that.
Well, she's supposedly on her way out, so...
Yes, so just please don't.
Okay.
I just want there to be someone, even if it's just the wrestler who maybe they don't think is appropriate, but he's good on the mic or something, or her even, just do something. Give them someone
creepy. When we had Zeb Coulter come out with Jack Swagger, reaching into the archives for Zeb to come out with Jack Swagger, but it fit, because with Jack's new egotistical, super American, racist kind of thing, you found Dirty Dutch, someone who could talk and do that role for him. Somebody like the Ascension, you can't have Vicky Guerrero. And that's not to say Vicky Guerrero can't garner heat or isn't good at what she does. It's just you can't put together certain managers with certain people.
Unless we're actually going the route of she's not Vicky Guerrero anymore. Who is Vicky Guerrero? She's someone completely different. We're repackaging her even. Something weird. Because I don't know if you know this. Paul Bearer had an extensive career before he was Paul Bearer, which is very interesting.
Vaguely aware of it, and I cannot...
But it's very interesting, because I was looking at the I can't remember the name of this show, sadly, but it's a show where they have all the legends on talking about famous wrestling events, which is on the network, by the way. It's basically a roundtable. And they were showing, how the territories were back in the day, and the true pioneers, what would be considered bad boys and things like that, back when the territories were, you had to... nowadays, it's still a business, obviously, where you have to, but nowadays I feel as if, you know, it's very hard to get stiffed out of your money, let's say, right? But back then, that was just the norm. So you really had to push and fight tooth and nail. And they showed a match between two people, and you saw this manager who was, had blonde hair. He was a bit tannish, and he had a pink suit. Right, and with a white shirt underneath, I was like, "This guy, like," and he's just talking, and all of a sudden, as they're walking away, because I believe yes, he won with you know the manager and the superstar won, and as they're walking out, he's just like, "He's the winner," and I thought, "No, that was Paul Heyman in the 70s."
Well, it's just I think what they need to do is repackage Vicky Guerrero, actually, as somebody like Eve Tulip and make her Adam Rose's girlfriend.
No. We're going to abort that immediately. I'm pushing the abort button, even though it doesn't exist. I've made one for the purpose of your joke.
You need to be very careful with that abort button, Matt.
No. I'm pushing it right now.
Don't. No, I just help.
So anyway, so what I did like about that tag team match, before we move on, I really liked the clash of styles, you know, and I really think that they meshed well together. Because I
agree,
definitely
accentuated by commentary.
Oh, yes, most definitely. I mean, William Regal is just, it's just really interesting how, and again, Vince in their ear, but still, it's really interesting how these guys can do so much better than the people on the main roster. When they should be in training, which, by the way, I enjoyed in a way where, as I mentioned, you know, obviously the NXT people who've been doing, you know, the NXT commentators who've been doing NXT can't do a two-hour event like this. But what I enjoy is that they clearly realized, all right, certain people either will be on their way out or maybe we do want to make a kind of split one day. So we are going to, or not maybe recently, but still, we have to find a way to train these main event guys into doing, you know, pay-per-views, basically, without doing a pay-per-view that people have paid for and then have them choke. And here we are.
Yeah, no, and it's described perfectly by you right there, where this was their test, and it worked out perfectly for them, to be honest.
A little bit too well, actually, which is very saddening. Yeah.
To the point where they're now going to get someone in their ear, listen, you guys are training, and you can't sound better than the main guys, so sound stupider. Or you're fired.
Yeah, yeah, right? That won't happen because that would be terrible, but, oh, well.
Oh, no, that's exactly what will happen. Remember, Vince isn't dead yet.
He isn't, but I also feel as if he doesn't care in a weird way.
He cares enough to put a bull in a match with Hornswoggle again.
But did he do it on NXT?
Why would he do it on NXT? They're not on NXT.
That's the point. My point is that he doesn't focus on anything.
Oh, if you're saying that he doesn't care about NXT, then yeah.
With main event, mind you. Main event, in my opinion, is not obviously NXT level, but main event and superstars, even though main event is getting more of a push, in my opinion, Vince isn't there harping on them. And even if he is, clearly he's harping less maybe because he thinks maybe less people are watching. Something is happening where on main event, they're getting less heat from someone in their ear, if there is anyone in their ear, versus Michael, JBL, and Jerry, who are getting destroyed. You know, who have to be. There has to be something going on there that someone is saying, you know, Michael Cole is trying to do commentary on the match, while arguing with JBL, while having Vince scream in his ear, mention the app. Something has to be happening. Kudos to Michael, because if that is what's happening, I think that would destroy you and I, personally. That would be very hard, and I would quit the next day.
I would agree to it, too, where I want some kind of control over what I'm saying. I feel so comfortable doing this podcast with you, because there's no one in my ear, you know, and you don't get on my ass to
and
have
rules,
a script for these things.
And rules are fine, like, you know, and by the way, I have a, you know, we have bulletin points, which sometimes we vaguely follow.
Rules are fine.
Yes.
But having someone harp in the ear like that, like the way that Vince is supposedly doing that, it would certainly get me angrier.
Yeah, it's funny because it's rumors, but, you know, with the latest SmackDown leak, there is actually a point where Michael Cole, you hear him visibly saying, wait, I have to do that again. Talking, you know, because he was commentating on a match, and you hear him, wait, I have to do that again. So I have to say it again, just like that. Yep. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So you assume that during certain points, now obviously not on Raw because Raw is live, but it's even worse then because on SmackDown they can cut out his takes because it's filmed. Oh my God. But on Raw, it's live. That imagine having him trying to say, you know, wow, it's the Demon Kane, getting screamed at. Make it sound more exciting. You know, exciting. We need this for the video package. And then all of a sudden,
it's worse on. Yeah. On Raw, yeah, right, because there's no take two on Raw, so they're under more pressure to do whatever the hell he wants, which sucks because that takes away from their comfort level. And I assume that's what's going on sometimes on Raw. But that being said, I mean, Mike, JBL, and Lawler aren't exactly a perfect trio.
No. It definitely needs to be cut down to a duo. But still,
I agree.
It's just, that
I think
doesn't
duos
help.
Work
but that doesn't
too.
Help. But that doesn't help, obviously. Now, moving on to one of, you know, to a really great match tonight.
One of the,
Sami Zayn versus Tyler Breeze.
Arguably,
this was
the best match of the night for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I would actually push for the Divas match, the women's match, because we're on NXT now, the women's match, they're women now. But I would say that if we're splitting them up by gender, and I know in no way mean that one is better than the other, but if we have to split them up in some way, yes, best male match of the night. But that in no way means that it is better than the female match, nor is the female match better than the male match. I'll put that out there.
I thought they were the match of the night, although I'm not going to get. If you were to argue with me that the Divas, the women's match, rather, was the top match on the card, I'm not considering to argue because I thoroughly enjoyed the last three matches so much. And I was audibly screaming at some of these things. Oh, my God. Especially during the Zayn Breeze match because spots will still get me. You know, certain moves done well will still get me. I love Zayn's Blue Thunderbomb. I love when he just, you know, the moonsault. The sit-down moonsault off the ropes was
something that
excellent.
They just they do things that I don't think are possible, and then once they get to Raw, they're told that they're not possible, so stop doing them. But one thing I think I mentioned this before, I touched on it, but I have to say it again and again and again. I've actually never seen Tyler Breeze wrestle. So I see him wrestle, and I think, no, because the last time he actually had a shot, he was taken down by Rusev.
Right,
so I actually
did NXT Arrival.
Yes. So I actually see Breeze wrestle, and I think, wow, he's not just some pretty boy. You know, he isn't.
He just quoted Paul Heyman.
Yes. Basically, that's exactly how I felt, where Regal mentioned, you know, because I know they also mentioned the Rusev thing, and Regal mentions that, you know, he's a great wrestler and this and that. And what I enjoy, too, is that, like, I'm actually, the one thing I'm worried, I know we keep on talking about call-ups this and call-ups that, I'm just worried that they're going to look at him and think, oh, he's arrogant, so the arrogance gets the best of him. All right, perfect. No! Right?
No,
so it's
I don't think they're going to call him up anytime soon, to be honest, because...
That's true.
He is a character that you can let it just simmer for a little. For me, coming into this, I've seen Breeze work, and I wasn't... My mind wasn't, like, blown. I thought he was good. I thought there was work that needed to be done. I also sometimes, I just didn't really like his voice. So, tonight, watching him wrestle, this is a step up. So, if he can wrestle at a level like that, I can certainly put up with his voice. But I still want him just to have more time. Because the Breeze character is pretty fairly new. You know, so just work with that a little, have fun, make it you, and...
And what I like is that selfies, I think that's a thing that isn't going to die. I know there's a lot of fads, but I don't think that's one that's going to die fairly soon. So if you wait 6 months on this guy, I don't think it'll kill him.
Yeah, I think fairly soon is the key, where you can work him as the selfie guy for a little while, and then switch, you know, you can change his gimmick. And it doesn't have to be a repackaging. It can where he just doesn't take selfies anymore, but he's really in love with himself still. Like, he's narcissistic.
Honestly, I would like it to be whatever is the newest technological trend, personally. That's honestly, that's what I would like. And I don't know what the next trend might be, or it might just be things that are coming back. Like currently tweeting is a big thing, obviously, but selfies are like the big thing. So what if eventually it's just, I don't do selfies anymore. No. Like imagine if he's just like, he gets an existential crisis. He's just like, oh, so you take selfies? He's like, I don't take selfies anymore. I do Snapchat because beauty is fleeting. And then just walks away.
Did you know they used his selfie in the Chainsmokers' Let Me Take a Selfie music video?
Really?
Yes, they did.
That's interesting.
His selfies are that perfect. And admittedly, that is a pretty good-looking young man. But,
oh, yeah.
No, I mean, Sami Zayn is, like, so goddamn good. I can't
and also,
because all around, he's so good at what he does. And you can tell the crowd.
Really.
He eats anything he throws at them.
And what I enjoy about him is that it's just, he seems, okay, this is going to sound like a weird compliment. He seems like John Cena, except that where I feel as if he can be universal, you know, he can be loved by children, you know, the children will be like, yeah, Sami Zayn, except that the difference is, now when we break off from John Cena, the adults will love him as well. And but I don't think he needs to be played off as an underdog, nor do I think he needs to be Superman level. But I think he can be in this nice, comfortable middle of, I'll lose some, I'll win some, but I'll still come back again. What we would want John Cena to actually be, basically.
Yeah, it's weird because what we would want John Cena to actually be is something more like Daniel Bryan. And I was going to say, Sami Zayn has a lot of comparisons to Daniel Bryan. He just has a very versatile moveset. Very hybrid type wrestler in the ring where he can use some strength and show some speed, aerial moves. I can't get enough of his work. It's excellent all around. And
I'm not going to lie. If Daniel, I really am upset that they just didn't think, put a fake beard on Sammy. Just, this is Daniel Bryan. Like a fake Diesel kind of thing. Just don't tell anyone he was injured. Just go. Just run with it.
It's funny because can you imagine a year from now, we may actually have Daniel Bryan versus Sami Zayn, and that match will blow the roof off whatever arena it happens to.
I will admit, I do think, okay, I know the rumors were saying Royal Rumble, but I do think that Sami Zayn could be called up because with him not getting the shot at the NXT title, usually people not, it's strange to say this, usually in NXT, the reason people don't get shots at things is because they're getting called up.
Yeah,
which is very interesting. Yes, which is very interesting because you'd think, wait a minute, but you're being either fired or your title, you just lost your title, you're being called up. That's
Biggie
but that's
dropped
what they do.
The NXT title to Bo Dallas so he could be called up to the main roster.
Which
it's
is very
just a thing like that. You know, the only one they've mixed it up with is Paige, who still had her title while she won AJ's. So for about a week, she was both NXT Women's and Divas Champion, which is pretty cool. So that was probably only allowed to happen, and not saying this in a mean way, because she was a woman and the state of the female titles. So
Also, I will say this much. She did deserve it.
I'll be the first, second, third, and fourth person to tell you that Paige deserved it. Because
another great thing, and, you know, because we are coming up to the women's match, before we really started, I would like to say that I think most of the women on this roster for NXT do deserve it. You know, I just think that it's just a wonderful thing that, I don't know how the main roster will treat them, which is a bit scary, but I do think it's a wonderful thing that, you know, you'll have the daughters of wrestlers come back, and they won't be bad. You know, they won't be bad in the ring. Some of them will be, I don't want to say better, obviously, because I didn't see some of these people during their prime. But still, at least better in the women's division compared to some of the other women right now. And I think it's an amazing thing to see. I mean, we just saw a match that, in my opinion, I believe that the Divas match the women's match that just happened tonight could main event a show. Like, it was main event level worthy. And with all the gimmick and all the stuff behind it, the story behind it, I'm a little upset that it didn't main event. But we'll talk about that a bit later, because we have the most important thing to talk about right now, Rusev versus, you know.
I was just about to say, we skipping over that or not? Because here's the thing for me, and this is all it is for the segment. I was completely uninterested and uninvested until the camel clutch at the top of the ramp, for some reason.
Thank you. That
I don't
was
know
the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Everything else, I hate it because Mojo sounded stupid and ran to the ring, got his ass kicked. They messed up, like, the timing with his music, and it was just, like, boring.
Ah, because the thing is, okay, I don't
music,
think... Yeah.
Throw him out of the ring again, which
mm-hmm.
looked lame, and
yeah.
replay his music, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? This is terrible.
Right. My thing is that I didn't think Mojo sounded that stupid, but I will admit that everything else surrounding that, other than the camera shot, which was gorgeous at the end,
was
stupid. Because, although I have to admit, Lana saying how he's conquered the WWE, he's gone to Raw, and now he comes back to see all of you as if it's like, haha, I've conquered. That was nice, but again, it's just Lana being Lana. Everything else surrounding that was completely unneeded. It felt as if someone said, wait, but he has to be on it because it's a special. And his match is coming up, so he has to be on it. Who are we going to feed to him?
Forced it in. And I hated everything about it until that camel clutch because, as you just described, the camera angle was beautiful. And it made it seem like he was really in pain. He was hurting. If that wasn't part of the segment, I would have been so angry because I was like, that was stupid. That was a waste of a cool-down moment.
And I would like to mention that I think the biggest thing for me is I like Mojo Rawley. I feel as if he could become another Daniel Bryan in terms of...
Okay, you like him.
I like him because I feel as if he really can make a crowd very energetic.
No,
he makes me feel hyped. He really does.
We have to disagree on certain things.
Of course.
And it's okay.
I will admit that I haven't seen him a lot in the ring. And you've probably seen him do... So in the ring, I'm sure, you have your issues with him, and I'll probably agree if I ever actually do see him in depth. But with the energy he can actually bring to it, I feel like he usually is at 110%. And if he wasn't tonight, again, forced in, you have to be fed to a guy that is already on the main roster. I think that's what also really gets me upset, is that he was already on the main. Rusev is already there. There's no reason why he needs to, come back and feed on a guy who isn't, who hasn't even been, who's been introduced and been part of NXT for a very long time now.
Yeah, it was kind of weird for me. The whole thing made me kind of just ticked. And
I agree.
I was sitting there like, this is stupid. And
it was.
This is coming after, this was right after the Zayn Breeze thing, right? Because I remember being there confused because when they introduced Lana, I was sitting there talking to Mona and saying, wait, is he on the
What card? Am I watching?
Cause
yeah,
that would
what am I watching?
Me off.
Yeah.
It's one thing when you have Natalya, Camacho, these people on, because they're wrestling with NXT people with in-depth stories.
Yes.
If there was a random Rusev match on this card, I would have been very upset. I'm
mm-hmm.
not going to lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought they handled that well.
Yeah. But let's move on, to the one of the best, to my opinion, one of the best matches of the night, the women's match. I mean, just the match was amazing, and it's strange that NXT ends up having this match, right? Really, like NXT having this match?
No, it's not actually, because when I know what you mean, because but in terms of my opinion on it, I guess with what's going on with the women's division, Paige was really adorable in the beginning. Because you could tell that was a legitimate thank you. You guys make me feel special. And if you doubt Paige's emotion, I mean, when she won her title, you can go back and hear me talk about all the crap she said and all that stuff. It was a
yes, yes, yes.
So
yes.
Leading into this match, we saw Natalya and Charlotte. And this was done really cool because they remixed their themes. I mean, I love Charlotte's remix theme, by the way.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Music.
Oh, it's beautiful.
That is a plus. On the flip side, as much as I don't particularly love Natalya's music, whoever made that jacket for her needs a raise because that was one of the best diva attires I have seen in a long time.
They always make stuff like that for her, I feel, with the jackets. And honestly,
I think
they're beautiful when they do because, honestly, she looks as if... I wouldn't be surprised if, even though Natalya lost, she says, excuse me, I only lost the match early because I have to go fight crime. And you'd believe it. You'd go, well, I mean, obviously, please, you're a superhero. Go do that. Quickly.
Well, no, she looked like some tough superhero. And she looked tough to begin with, like to the point where it's like, yes, Natalya could kick my ass. And I believe that statement because she looked tough. So
Natalya can kick Tyson Kidd's ass.
Yeah, because remember, you have to hand out your masculinity at the door to marry into the Hart family. But...
yeah,
reference to the post game show, not reference
by the way,
anything about Tyson Kidd, guys.
I would like to mention the pre-game slightly for a split second. I want to mention I don't like
it.
Michael Cole. I don't know if you got to see the interview. I believe it was during the pre-show.
Pre-game.
It was,
yeah, it was very.
Because for some reason, whoever, Michael Cole is now a face, right? But he used to be a heel at a certain point. Yes, he used to be a heel at certain points. In case you don't know, because you don't listen to commentary, so I know some people that watch commentary muted. Michael Cole is currently a face, and he used to be a heel, if you had it muted back then, too. He was a heel back then as well, a couple years, you know, what was it, 2-3 years back? He was a heel. But for some reason, whoever's writing his questions don't understand that. So they think we need to make Michael say hard-hitting questions.
That's what they're trying to do. Because they want Michael
yeah.
to be the hard-hitting journalist.
But it's really
it comes
bad.
Off as an asshole-ish thing, almost. I don't know if you
know, like, I agree completely. If there's anyone who should be asking those questions, even though they aren't this, you know, war correspondent, should be JBL.
Right, because it fits with his character. But
perfectly.
First go on, because I understand what you're saying.
No, because he would, if any of you saw, if you didn't see, go back and see that. As Astratis said, please watch the whole thing, 3 hours. It's great. The 30-minute pre-show had him saying things like, oh, you know, would you feel happy if your wife won the title and you didn't win the title? What is he, and then,
yes,
what is he going
face.
To say?
You can easily just say, yeah, all right, like, that's the thing. What's the right answer there? As the face, you ask him, so how would you feel if your wife won the title tonight? That's it.
Yes.
And they get the,
yes.
put the easy, I'd be very proud of her because I love
yes.
her. All
yes.
that. No, and you lost.
No, and it's funny because.
Is this a trick?
Yeah, and it's funny because I do like, it's. And again, I like the atmosphere. I will admit, I do like that they were trying to do a thing where Natty was interrupting TJ. I assume that was what they were doing. I assume that wasn't organic. I assume that was the act, I hope.
It's really funny to me because you called mm-hmm. him TJ, if only because you watched Total Divas.
Right,
me,
whoops.
He's Tyson.
Whoops. He is,
no,
he's Tyson Kidd, right.
TJ.
No, I
but
forgot
it's
it.
Funny because you're like, Natty's interrupting TJ, and I'm like, Matt's been watching a lot of Total Divas.
Yeah, yes, with Ashley, you know. The lady, you know, who has come on and done a few podcasts
yes,
with us. Sadly,
we know that
well, not
you have a girlfriend who comes on to do podcasts with us, Matthew.
She's not. She won't be able to do Payback. She hasn't caught up yet. She just watched Extreme Rules today.
Well, exactly.
You know,
how can she understand the Payback if she doesn't know what the original thing they're getting paid back for is?
Exactly.
Can't see Montezuma's
yeah,
revenge
no.
without seeing Montezuma in the first place. It doesn't work that way.
Exactly. I agree with it 137%. But I would also like to mention, though, yes, Michael Cole is really just, I don't know what the hell they're trying to do with his questioning, because he would say things like that, where it's just, so Tyson, how would you feel, you know, if your wife wanted to punch you in the face right now? I don't think she does. No, Tyson, she really does. It was very awkward. All the questions were just very awkward and a bit,
yeah, no,
I would
agree.
I wouldn't have been surprised if you know, Tyson punched him in the face. But getting back to the actual match, the reason why I said that it's very confusing, right, to have a match like this on NXT, it's because I think they did it too soon. I mean, I don't think that Natty's on her way out the door, but if she is, then maybe I'd understand. But if she's still sticking here for another, let's say, 5 years or something, or, you know, not even 5 years, because Charlotte, I think, is, you know, pretty damn good enough to be called up, you know, in the year.
Right.
I feel as if they could have easily done this on the main roster. And maybe they can think, oh, well, we'll do the rematch. But you've already done it in a special that should have been watched by a decent amount of people, because I have to say that this match was amazing. And the fact that you actually got Ric Flair and you got Bret Hart and that this wasn't WrestleMania was
yeah.
was really bad.
And they
I
underplayed.
Feel.
First off, they underplayed Ric Flair and Bret Hart being there, I think. And I like that.
Actually, well, it's weird. I think on Raw, like on the main roster, they underplayed it. But during their video packages, they made me actually care about it, because I felt underplayed when I was reading the rumors and reading people confirming it on cage side seats. I thought, oh, okay, they're going to be there. That's cool. I see the video packages making me think, wait a minute, these are two wrestling families. Yeah, and then I was sold.
Because I think the video package was more, in my opinion, to build what the situation was, and not so much their presence being there. And what I'm trying to say more so is that...
During the match, yes.
Yeah, they made it important. They made the match about the women, which was worthwhile because the women delivered. And I guess a part of me, earlier I was going to say to you, like, you know, when you're saying it's kind of confusing to have it on NXT, is that
right.
I think they're trying to show off the fact that the women who train with NXT, like pretty much all of them, are coming out as usable, viable women wrestlers. You know, because you have Paige leading the crop, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
You've got Charlotte and Bayley right off the bat. Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks are people who can work and are learning. And you saw the Bella Twins improve over the years. Natalya's always been very sharp technically. I think they're trying, like, not intentionally, but they basically wanted to put on an exhibition tonight to show that, hey, tonight's women's match is not going to be a piss break at all in any way.
I love that you, I do love, though, that you haven't mentioned Emma whatsoever. It's kind of funny in a weird way. Just skip right over her.
I didn't even get to her because I was sticking on the people who are on the roster right now. On NXT's roster right now. Because I don't think
anyone shows up
on NXT right now.
Sorry, yes. Sorry, fair enough.
But yeah, she certainly, of course, is one of the people who I look for in terms of the part of the future. But if you were to show people tonight's match between Natalya or Charlotte, or even if you go back to Arrival and you find the Paige-Emma match, if you were to show those two matches to people who were not familiar with the runnings of WWE, you could convince them that the women's division was a viable source of entertainment.
It's very I actually want to get some people together that don't watch wrestling at all. Possibly even swear that they hate it, or at the very least just swear that, I don't know if I'd ever really see wrestling. Right? I just get them, maybe some beers if they don't drink beers, you know, just get some chips, get some soda, whatever, and just watch these two specials. Or watch one of these two specials and just have them sit there and think, wow. You know, just wow. Like, that was so good. And then having the women in the room think, oh, these are just two, you know, good-looking women. You know, they're blonde hair. And then have all these, you know, these feelings towards them because, sadly, that's what the WWE usually does with women. And, you know, no, they're going to be underplayed. And then have this, wasn't it a 20-minute match?
Yeah,
or am
I
just...
It was close, I think.
Yes, arguably, and
it's funny because as much as the women are sexualized in WWE, we know this, right?
Right,
It's almost almost close to an equal thing in a way sometimes because you have guys like some of them wrestling in tights. You know, just
tights. That's kind of funny.
But
I agree completely. I think that when people say, and the you know, and it's only a quick little blurb, I'll come right back. When people say things like, oh, you know, superheroes, you know, the female superheroes are very sexualized, and then don't mention the fact that you'll sometimes have Bruce Wayne without shirts and just the rippling muscles. And then I look down at myself and think, I don't have those just by being Batman. You know?
Right. It's fun, but looking at it, just these matches alone, like even just speaking of the two women's matches from the front, right?
Right.
You could really convince a casual person that women's wrestling is a serious thing. And I'm not saying that as a joke. Like, I'm not saying the women's
wrestling is a joke. We're talking about WWE, of course.
Should be looked at as a serious thing. And you said that this could have main evented the card, let alone a pay-per-view, like an actual WWE, main-level pay-per-view.
Yes.
I don't disagree with you because when you think about things that we describe as good in the match, right? Technical aspect of the match, yes.
Right.
Was there the little things done right? Yeah, the slaps, the anger, the emotion, that was there.
Yeah.
Storytelling in the match, Natalya putting, you know, reversing the figure four. Charlotte looking Bret Hart in the eye and putting Natalya in the sharpshooter, that was great.
I don't know if Natalya is short. Maybe she's even shorter than me or around my height, and I don't notice because...
Are you
going to
say that Charlotte's really tall?
Yes.
I have the same impression. And,
I'm really happy about it.
As you can continue, by the way,
I'll just put
Charlotte actually...
Yes. And I only bring this up because I've mentioned the idea, I don't know if I mentioned on the air to you, that I would really like it for one day for the WWE champion to be beaten by a woman in a match and to gain the title. I feel like Charlotte kind of has that build to do it, or even someone like Tamina. But Tamina, there's a feeling of, can she be, you know, can she do well on the mic? Can she, you know, can she work well enough to win the title? But when I look at someone like Charlotte, I feel as if she has that power, dominance, but also some great mic skills and even some speed on her that she
okay,
could.
Okay, so Charlotte is not that her build height.
Right.
No, she's actually kind of tall. Her build height is 5'10".
Okay.
So her build height is an inch shorter than my actual height. So thinking of me at 5'11",
I am
considered somewhat tall. And her being a her, 5'10", would be very tall.
Right.
So I assume she's actually like maybe like 5'6", 5'7", which is still on the taller end for women. So, yes, I would say Charlotte is tall. And you
deserve that
as well.
Yeah.
Figure four neck lock.
Oh yeah,
kicks.
And I mean, she would be the one that I would say could, you know, beat someone for the WWE title. As weird as it may sound, I do feel as if there needs to be some more exposure with women, and hopefully, when Triple H and Stephanie get the full reins, they can do little things like that. I mean,
I like
hell.
You say this about her though, because.
Yes.
When we were discussing, like, Paige and Emma, and we were saying things like, or and I know I was for sure, and I think you agree with me, like, Trish and Lita,
yes.
The new Trish and Lita.
Yes.
So we've got our Trish and Lita. But we've also got an AJ who's going to return. And we've got Charlotte. We have Natalya, who doesn't suck in any way.
No, she needs to be promoted
more.
We've got
Bayley, we've got Sasha Banks, we've got Alexa Bliss waiting in the ranks.
Mm-hmm.
We have a seriously, potentially awesome women's wrestling corp for the next few years.
I mean, even though this would be a bit counterproductive, in a way, if they wanted to make an actual show either on the network or on TV that's just women's wrestling, it's their own brand, even though it's kind of counterproductive because it's like saying, let's make an all-black one, right? It's a bit upset. Yeah, it's bad. But at the same time, though, they have enough people to fill up a damn division. And
yeah,
make it and make
some
it
really cool feuds down the line.
And if
like
treated,
go ahead.
And if I'm sorry to interrupt. And if treated like NXT, could possibly be better than the main show.
No, it could work because imagine feuds in the next year, right? We'll have like Paige and AJ Lee. We'll have probably Emma and Paige again, which would be pretty good, right?
Yes.
Charlotte and Tamina.
Mm-hmm.
Emma and Natalya, stuff like that, you know? The Bella Twins cannot exist, sorry. But I just, there's so many chances here for this to be legitimate again. And since we may actually be getting two Divas match, I say Divas interchangeably with women, I'm trying to say women more.
It's just that, yes.
We can have two women's matches. We had two women's matches on Raw this week and two last week. You know,
yes.
We have talent up there, at least. Summer Rae and Alicia Fox are portraying good characters. Layla's doing her job well. Eva Marie is either the greatest troll in the history of the world, or she's still there as, you know, the eye candy woman.
Yeah.
There are the roles are there, the people are there. This could really work. And I was really proud to watch this match tonight because it was a five-star match. It wasn't a five-star women's match. It was a five-star match. And
that's what I'm liking. I mean, you know, I know for some reason my opinion has changed and I'm just, you know, saying Triple H is good and this and that. Well, a little bit too much. But I think that even if you don't want to put everything on Triple H, put onto him the people that he chose or the people that have been chosen for NXT.
And credit the goddamn trainers because they have taught these people to wrestle.
Exactly. You know, you have to credit everyone. And that's the thing. The reason why I say, you know, if you really want to say that, you know, Triple H controls NXT completely and then the main card is controlled by a mix between Triple H, Stephanie, Vince, and then the guys that Vince obviously put in when he was in control or when Stephanie was in control and there was a bit more Vince control in there, you know, there's clearly a split somewhere and we need to bring some other people up. In creative, you know? Bring those guys on up.
Yeah, and as we go down to these last 10 minutes or so of today's show.
Let's talk about the actual main event.
Yeah, just one thing I want to hit on that you always hit on before we talk about the main event.
Of course.
Is that, yeah, there is a divide, and call-ups definitely make me afraid. Because tonight we saw a world of potential in so many guys and gals. And I really hope that doesn't get screwed up along the way. I really hope. Because some of these people are perfect the way they are right now, already, you know, and you could call them up. So it's just something to think about, I would say.
No, it's just, it's very, it's insanity when I'm actually debating, which I won't, but I'm actually debating internally. Should I give up Raw, SmackDown, and any pay-per-views and just exclusively watch NXT? And when people get called up, I just assume they've been fired?
No, because here's the thing, too. Yeah. NXT's weekly shows are not always great because before, remember, they filmed them four at a time.
Right.
So they were lackluster at times because it wasn't weekly, it was four at a time.
Right,
so they just didn't, they flowed in a way that didn't always make sense in terms of like, why is, you know, why is there no big announcement about Paige winning the title or something like that?
Yeah, that was interesting, yeah.
Yeah, now they've been discussing because of the how...
Yeah, doing
well,
it, doing it, yes.
Bi-monthly.
Bi-monthly, thank you.
Two times a month. And that would be great because at the very least that would push towards a better NXT product because when they have time to prep and really have their stories already built, they can put on a hell of a show. Arrival and Takeover are excellent, excellent things to watch.
Definitely.
The weekly
Definitely.
Shows, not as much. Some of them are pretty good. Last week, solid. You know, they're good moments.
Right.
And it goes by quick, too. That's the thing. So I wouldn't recommend you give up things to watch NXT. But if I would argue, I mean, I do the thing. I do Raw, NXT, and Main Event when we do our podcasts.
Right.
I usually skip out on SmackDown. That's when I skip out on wrestling for the week. If you want to start following that with me, I wouldn't blame you.
Mm.
But it's up to you, you know, because... I, for everyone out there listening, you know, if you have a wrestling schedule that you watch, you know, please let us know on the Facebook page because we'd love to talk to you. That's my thing, you know, Raw, Main Event, and NXT because I like NXT a lot. I've made that clear, and
it's just very interesting.
So much entertainment.
I want to watch NXT, but I feel as if by the time certain people will get onto the main roster, I'll either have one more thing to bitch about when they're done a bit differently, or I will be complaining about a gimmick change, or at the very least, I'll be sad when they're released. Or the worst, what might even be the worst thing is, by the time they get onto the main roster from NXT, their gimmick will be played out to me because I've been seeing them for so long.
I think you gain an appreciation for it.
Fair enough.
But it also gives you a lens in where to criticize. Because when we talk about, like how you'll say, oh, I see this guy as this, but WWE is doing this, then you'll have more ammo.
True.
You know, so
true.
Emma's one of the best examples, where if you have watched more NXT, and I'm not doing this to, like, wag my finger at you.
No,
happen to watch more NXT, you would have had more of an insight into the fact that, Emma was the girl you saw at NXT Arrival. Very playful, but real tough in the ring, an excellent worker. And not the girl we saw on Raw, which was just bubbles, right? And so, and not that you needed more ammo because they blew it so bad, but that's the type of situation where you would know, oh, they're doing this right, or, wow, they completely scrapped what they were doing, you know?
Right,
and
that's
what it is for me, where
but quickly,
I don't think the gimmicks are played out.
No, that's okay, fair enough. But quickly, we must do main event. We must, not the show, the actual main event,
please,
Neville versus...
Lead off.
Versus
throw your love on me.
I think that the end was wonderful, but I have to say, I felt weird that I wanted Tyson Kidd to win. What botch? Botch?
There was a slight botch. Watch the Hurricanrana again, where Tyson Kidd
lands. Oh, yes. Oh, no, that was a huge, but yeah, that was a botch. Yeah. No, I meant the actual, you know, the Adrian Neville's amazing finish. That end. Yes. The end was wonderful, but I feel very weird because, I'm, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, or whatever, I think Tyson Kidd should have won.
I don't know if you're biased like
win.
Me towards these guys because I've mentioned Tyson Kidd. I like the Tustin Tins, the Justin Gabriels, the Yoshitatsus of the world because I feel like they don't ever get that break. I love that Tyson Kidd was in this match, and I love
that
he put on a show.
Him losing did
make me feel weird.
And it's funny because, okay, had they not said things, and I would like to add, screw you, Michael Cole. If they had not added in things like Tyson Kidd, if you lose this championship to the show that all the new kids are on, do you think that maybe you'd want to kill yourself? You know, just Tyson Kidd. I just kind
of
wanted to wrestle.
For those of you who didn't watch the pre-show, that wasn't an actual question.
That wasn't a question, but it was It was basically how it felt. Tyson, yeah, no, just
word
Tyson
word,
Kidd.
In case you're wondering,
no. It was
Tyson
just
Kidd to kill
no. No, but honestly, I'm not going to lie. It felt as if Michael was saying, Tyson, if you lose this match, would you want to do a 450 splash off of the Empire State Building? Tyson just sitting there. I just wanted to wrestle. This is my job. I don't think anyone's going to fire me. No, Tyson, we will fire you. Actually, we will shoot you on site. We have a SWAT team around the entire area. Do not lose this match.
Commentary,
you know,
on a serious note, did a good job building that situation because
definitely.
People are like, yeah, some people would say Tyson Kidd has nothing to lose, but he's done a good job convincing us that he has everything to lose, and they talk about the whole situation. It's like, and he does. He really does. And there was a lot of animosity in the match. And
which was great.
The mirror thing, you know, the fact that they emphasized and played up the point that they were so much alike worked so well in certain points.
It really
points.
Did. It really did.
My favorite one being the Russian leg sweep off the ropes.
Yes.
That was brilliant.
Yes, he was needed. This, I will admit, this match, it wasn't just, you know, some veteran trying to put over a new guy. It was definitely needed, and everything around it was just perfect, and I think that people really thought, you know, backstage, oh, this match needed to happen. Like, it wouldn't have worked if Tyson Kidd couldn't do it for some reason. Let's say he did get injured somehow before the match. Let's say he was, you know, walking or something. It would have been a huge issue had he not been there. Because
yeah,
it worked out very well.
It had to be Tyson Kidd versus Adrian Neville, and it was good that way. We had a lot.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing I complained about was that they kind of overdid the Tyson on the turnbuckle thing, with him slowly struggling. But the entire match was good. The psychology was there. The moves were there. We had a lot of nice spots, a lot of close, you know, near falls. I was entertained, and I didn't know who was going to win. I was more entertained. Because I sat there thinking, like,
which is,
wait, is this the end? Is that it? No, frick!
Which is something they need more, which is why it's very, it's crazy that we will, you know, and again, I don't know why I'm complaining so much, because I'm not saying that the product right now is the worst it's ever been or anything, but I'm just saying that somehow, for some reason on the roster, they'll just make matchups. Even if they aren't the ones that have been played out over and over, they'll just do something, and it'll be in some kind of storyline way that'll make you feel as if, all right, this person has to win no matter what. Right? No matter what. You know, well, I mean, it'll be someone, let's say, like John Cena versus one of the people from the Wyatt family, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, he has to win, and if he's not going to win, it's going to be via some kind of, you know, roll-up or some kind of, you know, it's something that is against John Cena's control. You're never, but here it's just, you think, well, Tyson Kidd's the veteran. You think he has more pull, and then you think, but wait a minute, though, this is NXT. Maybe they want to push over the other guy. No, but if they give Tyson Kidd this push, it fits with the story. Age, you know, Neville can win it back, and then he seems even stronger at the next, you know, big event for winning it back from Tyson Kidd.
Yeah,
no,
I didn't know what they were going to do, and I was really happy about that.
Especially when you have Tyler Breeze as your number one contender, which is even funnier in a weird way, where you just think, so is he the number one contender because they're pushing up Sami Zayn? Like, how's that working out? You know, you thought maybe Sami Zayn was going to win because of how much he's loved, and then he could beat Neville for the title one day. Hell, what if this was a weird thing where he goes, I'm invoking my title shot now, and then tries to fight him, or someone tries to fight someone right after the match. So many things could have happened that were in your head.
And as we wrap things up, by the way, that reminds me of my favorite moment of the night. Charlotte's walking away from the table, pulling him into Natalya. Her back is turned. Get her.
Yes.
Get her now.
Yes.
Her back is turned. Get her. What are you doing? Get her now. Her back is turned. It's like, what?
And then
I'm just trying. That's what a Paul Heyman girl would have to do.
Yeah, and he says, I was just trying to help you. And she goes, well, that's okay. You know, I know that we were both winners in this match. Then where's the belt? I think that things like that were just gorgeous.
Paul was so good in the pre and post games.
He was. And before we cut this off, you know, we don't want to go into the archives, or at least too much. Before we cut this off, I want to mention two chants, beautiful chants. I love them. They were at the end. When Adrian Neville was trying to shake Tyson Kidd's hand, they were chanting, hug it out.
Yes.
And then when Tyson said, screw this, and walked away, he was walking down the ramp, and you heard one guy scream, total D-bag. I want, please go back and listen to that. Total D-bag, everyone.
Total D-bag.
New
no,
TV
one guy.
Show.
One
Only.
Guy. One guy. Total D-bag. One guy. It was great. But, which is what I was thinking of, by the way. I was thinking that would be the new show on E!, and I thought this is brilliant. But anyway, and of course, Paul Heyman, again, you know, at his A game, I mean, everything. I thought he was actually going to try and recruit Tyson Kidd.
I think he might. I don't think that storyline's done with.
No. And by the way, again, everyone, thank you guys for listening to those guys. I am your sick host, Matt Marrero, dying. And
he doesn't mean sick
dying.
Like that, yo. He means he's funky fresh.
Yeah, I'm funky freshly. Oh, God, help me. And of course, you know, thank you, Sasish Ram, for being on, as always. You know, you're a great host with me, and it's just, you know, it's really cool that we're able to just call impromptu shows like
he
this.
He never thanks me. I think he's
actually dying,
guys, and now I'm kind of scared. So please send Matt your love and prayers, because I would miss him if he died.
For payback, I'm going to pay back this cold. No, but seriously, help. And also, again, Satish, now that we're in the archives now, I'm hoping it actually ended right there. Everyone listening now in the archives, I'm hoping it ended with, please send help.
Send help? Matt is dying.
But seriously, yeah, so we're done. You know, we have nothing else to say other than Paul Heyman had, you know, again, a game tonight. Paul Heyman gave his best tonight, which is really amazing. Where it's not
for
just...
NXT. You can tell he cares.
Yeah, no, I think it's just great that it's not, you know, no one tonight felt as if, maybe Mojo, but no one other than Mojo felt as if they were phoning it in.
No, I agree. I was very proud of those guys.
Oh, yeah, because even Rusev wasn't phoning it in. He was just being Rusev, which is hard, you know, to just do that, in my opinion.
Yeah,
but anyway,
he got in his line.
Yeah. He said things, and I do have to say though, before you turn on the music and we wave to the crowd,
right?
I would like to say that, I do like the contrast between the rushed, you know, the flags was I felt as if it was very 80s, and it made me feel a bit nostalgic. It was just the opponent that they chose, and the way and the fact that it was a squash is what made me go, this is disgusting. But the flag thing made me feel happy inside. It made me feel like a kid again. Just saying. So.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you liked it, because I hated it.
Just the flags. The flags was nice. If it was an actual match, it would have maybe been okay,
so
I think.
So did you like Zack Ryder versus Alexander Rusev?
The same exact thing, by the way. Also, the fact that, as I assume, maybe Mojo Rawley happened already on NXT, you know, Zack Ryder was already eaten by, you know, fed to Rusev already. So, and again, the person who did it, you know, Zack Ryder's coming out to wish you guys a happy Memorial Day. No, don't do that, Zack Ryder. We could have gotten Sin Cara to do that, and we would have thought this makes perfect sense. If we had to compare it to Zack Ryder.
That being said,
yes,
at least it's not a black guy.
But it will be on pay. It will be at Payback. And thank you guys for listening to those guys. Next time you will be hearing Satish and I will be at Payback, and hopefully, if all the stars align, then we as in myself and Tristan Walter will be doing a Cooler's Revenge show tomorrow. The time, well, like us on our Facebook. Those Guys on the Radio via the URL. Search up Those Guys on Facebook, and you can see what time our show will be.
That's
good show,
way of
by the
saying
way.
We don't know yet.
That's our way of saying it should be at 7, but we don't know yet. Total D-bag. But anyway, thank you guys. Without you, we wouldn't be here. So
I agree. Thank you all.
And please play us out with some music.
Let's do this.
Yeah. What? Why? I mean, all right.
You mentioned the Brothers of Destruction.
I know, it's just... Oh.